I want to invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Galatians, the fifth chapter, Galatians chapter 5. And I want us to look over in verse 13 in just a moment. You know, we're in the last Sunday of November, and then you move into the major holiday season. So for these couple of weeks, I'm going to do a little mini series as the Lord directs and as the Lord leads. Amen. And I'm sure we'll talk about, you know, Christmas and so forth, the closer it gets. But I believe that what I'm about to preach today is extremely important, not only to pastors, but it's also important to every person that calls themselves a Christian.
Amen.
So I want to turn over to Galatians, the fifth chapter, and I want you to look at verse 13. And notice this verse with me. It says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty." Is that a good thing?
Yes.
Amen. I mean, to be called out of darkness into His marvelous light, and to be called into glory and freedom is a precious thing.
Yes.
You could think of several scriptures throughout the Word of God where it says free and freedom. For example, whom the Son has set free is what? Is free indeed. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, or put you on a track and make you free. Thank God for the liberation that is in the Word of God. The Bible says that now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Or, as the Amplified says, emancipation from bondage. So we've got the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and that brings you and I into freedom and into liberty. So now notice with me this verse again. "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty," or freedom. "Only use not this liberty," use not this freedom, "for an incentive or for an occasion to serve the dictates of the flesh." The question I have for you this morning, is it possible for us to abuse our freedom?
Yes.
Or to misuse our freedom? Why, certainly it is. The Word of God says not to use this freedom according to the flesh, or to live according to the five physical senses, but by love serve one another. So there is a liberty and there is a freedom that comes into our lives when we serve the Lord and when we serve one another.
Amen.
Now I want you to notice in verse 14, it says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word." Now, what is this word? Even in this: "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, notice within the context of verse 13 and verse 14 that the word love is used. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, and you want to not use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, you must use this service to one another in the spirit of agape, or in the spirit of love. Love is the motivation or the bottom line of all service unto Him.
Amen.
You know, if I give up my body to be burned, if I have faith so that I can move mountains, if I have all the gifts of the Spirit operating in my life, but if I have not love, how much does it profit me? Well, that lines up with the Word. Because the flesh is unprofitable. That's why He said, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You are walking in the Spirit in a very strong manner, or in a strong way, when you are serving one another by serving the Lord out of the love of God. So, we then have been brought into freedom to serve. We could say it this way. I am, you are, saved to serve.
Amen.
Saved in order that we may bring our service to the Lord. Praise God. Now I want you to look at this verse in the Amplified, if you would, please. Love by serving. This is what I want you to get. It says, "For brethren, we were indeed called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity or excuse for selfishness.
Amen.
But through love, you should do what?
Serve.
Serve one another." I submit to you that we're free to serve. Another translation says it this way, and that is not readily available upstairs, but it says, "My friends, you were chosen to be free, so do not use your freedom as an excuse to do anything you want."
Amen.
Now, I realize this is America. Land of the free and home of the brave. And thank God that we are Americans. There's no better country in all the world. But I submit to you this morning that we are of a higher land and a higher country. Our citizenship is in heaven. We serve a king, and the kingdom of God is among us. So our lives then are no longer our own. You are not your own. Because you're bought with a price. Amen. So he says, don't use your freedom as an excuse to do anything you want. But use it as an opportunity to serve each other with love. With love. Serve with love. Service with a smile. A foot washing mentality. Hello, I'm here to serve. How can I serve you? Is there anything that you need? Is there anything I can do for you? Even the world is picked up on this.
Yes.
You go to certain department stores and they are trained to serve with a smile. They are trained to bring their very best to the department store to serve their customer in a manner that represents their company. How much more? Should we serve the Lord not with sadness, but serve the Lord with gladness, with a smile on our face? How can we serve you? What can we do for you, representing the land in which we are from?
Amen.
The kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
Now turn over to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans, the 12th chapter, the first verse. We're going to take our time with these little lessons that are coming up in these weeks to come, because this is so important. In Romans 12, 1, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies," what kind of a sacrifice is God looking for? He's looking for living sacrifices. Those who will present their bodies unto him daily and regularly as those that have been alive and raised from the dead. Living sacrifices. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now that's a little blind to us, so let's look over at the Amplified version. He says, "I appeal to you, brothers, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God." Woo! In view means that we've seen something, haven't we? Has anybody seen through the Word and by experience what the Lord will do and has done for you? Has anyone ever come into contact with the mercies of God? The mercy of God in salvation. The mercy of God in healing. The mercy of God in your finances. The mercy of God is in the Word, and it's all around you. As a matter of fact, His mercy is hovering over you. And so He says, in view of all this, because of what everything God's done for you, He says, make a decisive dedication of your bodies and so forth, which is your reasonable, intelligent, rational service and spiritual worship. What Paul is saying is this: in view of everything that God has done for you, it seems to me that the least we could do is give our all to Him. The least we could do is make a presentation of our body to God daily. The least we could do is roll up our sleeves and say, "Dear Lord, how may I serve you this day?" Amen. Now, if you don't have a revelation of how good God is, that's difficult to do. If you don't have an understanding of how good and how merciful God is, it's difficult to serve a God you don't know. It's difficult to serve a taskmaster if you think God is a taskmaster. But oh, if you look into the Word of God and you taste and you see that the Lord is so good. It is just reasonable, saints, that every person in this auditorium have a station of service that they function in and that they operate in because of the goodness of God that has been bestowed upon their lives. And that's some good preaching right there. Woo, glory to God. The NIV says it this way. He says, therefore, I urge you. Can you sense the exhortation? Beseech is a strong word. He says, I'm urging you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Now notice, I want you to get this. This is your spiritual act of what?
Worship.
Now the New American Standard Bible says it like this. Therefore I urge you by the mercies of God to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Spiritual service of what?
Worship.
Of worship. Very interesting. Very interesting. Because to be honest with you, when we think of ministry, oftentimes we think only in terms of what Pastor Mark is doing right now. When we think of ministry, we think of, as we turn the television on, someone is preaching, someone is ministering, or we turn the radio on, someone is teaching, someone is preaching. We think in terms of ministry as being that. Or we think in terms of ministry as being something that Pastor Tom does to lead us in worship. And that is a part of ministry, but that is not all ministry. When we think of ministry, we should think service. Everyone say service.
Service.
Ministry and service in the Word of God are used interchangeably. If you look up the word ministry, you will find the word service. And to serve means to attend to. To serve means to wait upon. How many of you have ever been to a restaurant and had the wonderful experience of having an awesome waiter or an awesome waitress? I mean, it was a joy and it was a delight to be in that restaurant from an hour to an hour and a half to however long you're there, because the waiter or the waitress was just so good. What makes a good waiter? What makes a good waitress? I'll guarantee you, it's not, okay, what do you want? My shift is just about up. Time for me to go, so make it hurry. No, a good waiter and a good waitress is very aware of who they are serving and how to serve and how to attend to their needs. They listen to them. They wait upon them. And if there's anything that they can get for them, if at all possible, they'll do it. The word ministry and service are used interchangeably. It's to attend to. It's to wait upon. The word service also means to run errands. And I believe this, that a major area of mind renewal that needs to happen in the church and in the body of Christ is this fact that our spiritual service to the Lord and in the house of God is actually worship. It's actually worship. Now, perhaps you've never had a tour of this building, but did you know that this building is 36,000 square feet? Now, we sit in an auditorium that's about 7,000 square feet. But this is only a little bit of the building. To my left and to your right is the preschool, the Kingdom Seekers, the nursery. And people literally went in there at the time of moving in and they painted those walls and they offered their service to the Lord in the house of God by making the house look attractive. Behind this wall is the multi-purpose room where our children now are being served by our children's ministers and children's pastors. In there, we come and we have food and we enjoy the presence of God. We enjoy one another. On the other side is a beautiful, beautiful place that seats about 125 people with a full band where we can have emerge and have youth and just, I mean, the goodness of God. On the other side of that wall is the bookstore and several classrooms. And that's just the downstairs.
Amen.
Now, if you go upstairs, on this side is the administration wing. Amen. Where there are offices and there are people that are serving in the area of helps to service the house of God in their capacity. On the other side of this wall, there's two classrooms, one classroom that seats almost 100 people, and another arcade where the youth can play games and have class. I'm telling you, it's awesome. Amen. But did you know that 36,000 square foot is not kept clean by saying abracadabra? And the outside is not kept cleaned and painted and weeded and cleaned and all those things by just wishing so. No, these areas are serviced by solid service teams. Come on, somebody. I mean, in the church, volunteers that have ascertained that it is the will of God for them to serve the Lord in that capacity, and they're outside and they're inside and they're doing it from a service servant heart to the glory of God.
Amen.
It's awesome.
That's right.
On Tuesdays, when I come in this place, and we do have a janitorial service come in once a week, but on Tuesdays when I come in, the housekeeping team is serving. And they're sweeping the floor and they're making sure that there's no lint on the chairs. Why do they do that? Because they're by love serving you.
Amen.
Come on now. I said by love, they're serving you. And in serving the Lord, they're serving you. Oh, hallelujah. And I walk in Tuesdays and I see them vacuuming. I see them sweeping. I know they're in there cleaning the toilets. But I will tell you this, that they are as much, if not more, worshiping God in their service than we are right here, right now, with hands lifted up.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. That's right. Glory.
All of the service teams in this ministry and in this church, bringing their supply into the house of God, doing it out of the spirit of love, is a sweet aroma and well-pleasing to my Heavenly Father. Woo, glory to God. And right now, I am ministering the word. I am called to be a pastor.
Amen.
I am called to serve you, the word of God.
Amen.
But I am no more a servant and no more called than you are if you've answered the call in your area of service in the house of God.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
And I am doing right now the joy of my heart.
Amen.
Hopefully I'm helping somebody. I'm in the ministry of helps under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Hopefully, I'm helping somebody. And it just thrills my heart to feed you the word of God and you being able to go, yum, yum, yum. Oh, that's good food. And some of you spit up. But that's okay. We'll have our service teams come and clean it up. We're just committed to keep feeding you. Keep sowing the word of God into you until you become more like Jesus. Come on, somebody. Every day. Woo! So a major area that all of us need mind renewal in is this, is our service is worship. Say this with me. My service to the Lord in the house of the Lord is spiritual worship. So then worship is not just singing and praising, it's rendering assistance. It's being useful in the kingdom of God. There's nothing more miserable in life than the self-serving life. There's nothing more miserable than a selfish Christian. God has not called us to be useless. He's called us to be useful. God has not called us to be fruitless. He has called us to be, come on, fruitful. And every one of you are born with graces on the inside of you. There is not a person in this auditorium that does not have a call of God on their life to develop and to nurture the grace of God that He's put on the inside of you. Oh, I mean, that's a powerful thing. But you say, you know what, Pastor Mark, I haven't done anything with it. Time's a ticking away. I feel so condemned. Don't be condemned. Get rid of that condemnation. Get rid of that woe is me. And just thank God that your heart is still beating.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And thank God that He is still on the throne. And thank God that He has not changed His mind about you. Yeah, some of you have been lazy. Yeah, some of you have been lagging behind. But now is the time. Today is the day to rise up and to offer your life as a spiritual sacrifice. Woo to God. I've even found a scripture in the Word of God that when we get older, that we will be fat and flourishing.
Amen. Amen.
And that's not talking about being, you know, fat physically. It's talking about being fat spiritually. I mean, where you're just so full of the love of God. You're so full of the grace of God that you just got to give it away. You're looking for somebody to encourage. I mean, you're just looking for someone to serve. You're looking for someone to bless. You're looking for someone to lift. Come on, saints. Woo, glory to God. The happiest people I know in this church are people that bring their service into the house of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's right.
We have people here that have not missed a service in just about 30 years.
Amen.
And they don't live in the neighborhood. They live across the bridge.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
And serve in several areas in the church and have not yet missed a time of serving. I can look around at models and trophies of God's grace. No, they've never been up here preaching the word of God, but they're preaching.
Amen. Right.
They're preaching all right. They're preaching with their life. Yeah. They're preaching with their giving. They're preaching with their service. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Oh, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Woo! glory to God. You can still bring forth fruit in your old age. If you haven't done anything yet with the grace on the inside of you, it's time to step up, stir up, get up, rise up and say, Lord, I'm yours, you are mine, and I'm here to serve. What can I do for your glory? So don't be condemned. Religion brings condemnation. But I'm telling you, there are people in this church that are needed to step up to their station of service. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Are you getting this today? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. This is such a powerful truth. Expect God to reveal to you in the days ahead exactly what He'd have you to do. Now, there are times, and I've discovered this, that God will be very specific, won't He? I mean, He'll be very specific, but other times He'll be very generic. And what does that mean? Specific, generic. Well, specifically, He could tell you to serve in a station of service in the church, maybe in the nursery, or perhaps as a prayer group person, or whatever the case may be. But generally, He may just say, son, daughter, do whatever your hand finds to do. Find out where the biggest need is and jump in with both feet.
Amen.
And say, Lord, I'm here to serve. You see, too many people are over-spiritualizing this service thing. They're waiting for a burning bush. They're waiting for 3 prophecies, Pastor Tom, and 2 confirmations. And then maybe they'll do something. They're waiting for 5, thus saith the Lord's, and maybe a little goosebump. That's not how God moves. The Bible says, whatever you put your hand to, do it with all your might. I was thinking about this recently. You know, we had this vision night. It was awesome. And I'm thinking, you know, we've had people make commitments to Heart for the House and to bring their tithes and offering. That's a good thing. But I think after the first year, we need to hand out a commitment card for people that say, yes, indeed, I will serve in the house of the Lord. I didn't get a real nice feeling on that. I'm going to call my mom after church. By the way, a good report on my mom, false alarm. We thought she was in complete renal failure. Well, what happened is she had a high degree of the flu where she was vomiting and got very dehydrated. And so her blood tests and her kidneys looked real bad. But she's recovered at 97 years old. She's recovered at 97 years old. And her kidneys are in great shape. She's not in renal failure. She could live to be 120.
Amen.
Thank you for your prayers.
Glory to God.
But no, seriously, I got to thinking, we need to give the people the opportunity, and I need to do better as an equipper. I need to make it very, very clear as an equipper, which is my main job,
hallelujah,
for you to do the work of the ministry. I need to be very clear about what areas that we need help the most in.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And get people to sign in and sign up.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Once they've signed in and signed up, then they need to rededicate themselves every Sunday. I'm not kidding. I'm saying you need to present your body as a living sacrifice to God every day of the week. Because when it comes time to serve, your flesh will want to stay at bedside assembly. Oh, no, I know. I'm preaching real good right now. Your body will not want to do what your spirit knows to do. But that's why He says, I keep under my body. And I bring it, my body is an it, into subjection. Lest that by any means, while I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway.
Yeah.
Okay, body, we're getting up this morning. We're going to church. And yeah, we are going to raise our hands. Yeah, body, that's right. You are going to stay awake during Pastor's message today.
Amen.
You can sleep later.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't see anybody sleeping today. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You got to make your body do its duty. You got to make your body pray. Notice your tongue doesn't move automatically. Well, I'm waiting for the Lord to pray in tongues through me. No, you move your tongue and start praying and he'll help you do it. Shoo, glory. So I need to do a better job. And by God's grace, I will.
Amen.
And you need to do a better job.
That's right.
In following through on your commitments that you make.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's right.
See, the will of God is not for, you know, a committed pastor and pastoral staff, a few staff members, and then 2 or 3% of the people to do all the work. That's not the will of God. The will of God and the plan of God is therefore for there to be some serious rotation taking place. Are you listening? There is no way that a person needs to be ushering every service.
That's right. That's right.
There is no way that a person needs to be in the nursery every service.
That's right.
Or in preschool every service. It's not the will of God.
Amen.
And here's what happens. You have a faithful group, a faithful core that do all the work and then they burn out.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And they get to a place where they say, oh man, I don't know if I can do this anymore. That is not the will of God. The will of God is for there to be some rotation going on. I'm trying now. You got to help me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Say, this is good food, Pastor. Thank you. Yum, yum. All right. Notice this in verse 9. Would you read this with me? Ready, read. Who has saved us and called us with what? What kind of a calling? A holy calling. God didn't put you on earth and cause you to be saved to sit around and watch television, play video games, just have a good old time, and then die. God put you here on earth for a reason, for a purpose. You have breath within you to be a servant of the Most High God.
Amen.
You're here for a reason.
Amen.
Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Say with me, I am created.
I am saved.
To serve. In Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, in the 10th verse, it says this, for we are God's workmanship, the handiwork of God, created in Christ Jesus to sit and listen to the word. Oh, wait a minute, it doesn't say that. No, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to see if Pastor Tom's got it Sunday so we can all have some sort of a feeling.
No.
Do you know that that's what a lot of worship services are? It's nothing more than somebody working up a congregation into some sort of a frenzy. And I believe in dance and I believe in shout. I can look, you have noticed that I can run with the best of them. But I don't come in here to get worked up. I'm already worked up when I come. I'm already prayed up. I'm praised up. I'm worshiped up already when I come. I'm not waiting on Pastor Tom to stir me up. Yeah, but we sing all the same songs. Well, you know what? I ate the same turkey on Thursday that I ate last Thanksgiving. And you know what? It was good. Brenda's cornbread dressing was as good as it has ever been. I know I'm preaching good now. But can't we just do something different? Maybe it's you that need to be different. Certainly we're pressing. Certainly we're changing. Certainly we're doing our very, very best. Are you listening to me? But it doesn't help when people criticize the preacher. It doesn't help when people criticize the music. It doesn't help. Do you hear me? It doesn't help.
That's right.
It's not rendering service.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
This is not in my notes. I've departed from the land of notes. Some of you just spit up. It's all right. Service team is on its way. My goal, now listen, I want to be honest with you. My goal as a pastor is to be the best preacher in the world. To be the best teacher I can be. To be the best preacher I can be. And I know T.D. Jakes can shut this boy down. But it's not about Mark Thomas. And it's not about T.D. Jakes. It's not about me comparing myself to Jakes, Copeland, Hagen, or whoever. It's about me doing and being the best that I can be and best that I can do. And I will guarantee you that in Pastor Tom's life, in the music area, in my life, in the preaching area, there is room for growth. But it's not going to help us anyway by you bringing a supply of criticism, complaining, and whining.
That's right, Pastor.
What's going to help is you bringing your supply of service, you praying in the Holy Ghost, you believing God with us, you coming to church with your expectors out. Amen. Enough said about that. But we are His workmanship. We are created in the image and likeness of God. And I will guarantee you, I am pressing.
Amen.
And I will guarantee you, Pastor Tom is pressing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. We are pressing.
Amen. Yes.
Because we know there's a mark.
That's right.
That we're heading to.
Yeah.
But you know what? We're happy while we're pressing.
Yeah.
We're not going to wait and be happy till we hit the mark.
Yeah.
But we're pressing toward the mark. We're happy on the journey. Amen?
Amen.
Now, are you ready for just a little bit more?
Yes.
Let me ask that again. Are you ready for just a little bit more?
Yes.
All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 20. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. I forgot the words. I don't know what to say. Still pressing on.
Amen.
Forget it. All right. Matthew chapter 20. So God's designed you for a purpose. Look at your neighbor and say, you're designed for a purpose. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 through verse 28. Ready, read. But Jesus called unto them and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever will be great among you, let him be what? And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your? Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, become the servant of all.
Amen.
Jesus Christ descended from greatness when He came to this earth.
Sure.
The ultimate descent from greatness is when He went into the bowels of the earth for 3 days and three nights. But God Himself raised Him from the dead. And He exalted Him. And He gave Him the name which is above every name. You see, Jesus points us to greatness. He says the way up is down.
Amen.
He says the way up is down.
Glory.
What the Lord is saying, don't seek promotion. Don't seek titles. Don't seek to be seen in the house of God. But hide behind the cross. And humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And in humbling yourself, you will descend into greatness and you will be positioned for exaltation, because the Bible says when you humble yourself under His mighty hand, He'll exalt you.
That's right. That's right.
Listen, friend, He'll find a way for you.
Yeah.
He'll make a place for you.
Yeah.
You won't have to do it yourself.
Right.
Martin Luther King said this. He said, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. He says, you don't have to have a college degree to serve. He says, you don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. He says, here's what you need. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. Jesus said, your attitude must be like my own. In other words, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. He said, I didn't come to serve. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
One person said it this way: the true measure of man is not in the number of servants he has, but the number of people he serves.
Hallelujah.
You know, there was a college professor one day, and he was kind of eavesdropping on a couple of young students that were getting ready to go out and to change the world. I can remember those days when I was in Bible school. Back in 1975 and 76 at Rhema Bible Training Center, I was ready to go shake the world for Christ.
Amen.
And I'll be honest with you, I've not lost an ounce of my zeal.
Amen.
I'm still ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's one thing that I did do. I never thought for a moment that I'd start at the top.
Amen.
I started serving here.
Amen.
See, in God there's no top, there's no bottom, but there is something called faithfulness.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Hallelujah.
And there's something called a proving ground. That if you become faithful in that which is little, you become faithful in which is another man's, God will make you ruler over much.
Amen.
And so I just did what my hand found to do. I taught Sunday school. I did this. I did that. Whatever He says unto you, say that again. Whatever He says unto you, do it. You got to be clear to see. Teaching like this will make you clear in order to see. Oh, and the professor eavesdropped on these young guys, and one of the students was complaining. I like this pulpit because it can get it closer to you. Get out here where I can see the whites of your eyes.
Amen.
He was complaining, and to the other student, he says, yeah, this door is open, but I don't know. I don't think it fits me. I'm just. I believe in being led by the Spirit, amen?
Amen.
But I also believe in going through doors that God opens.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God will open up doors for you that in the natural mind and in your natural man, you'd rather not go through. But go through it, says the Lord, and as you go through it, you'll see why on the other side of the door. Because on the other side of the door is much, much more. Ooh, glory to God. That's what the Holy Ghost said through me. Don't hesitate to go through the door. What if you get up to a door that God opens and don't go through the door? Well, then you have disqualified yourself for more. Hey, listen. Be obedient in the little things, and as you are obedient in the little things, it qualifies you to be used in greater things.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Your church attendance might seem like a little thing, but it's a big thing to God.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, but I want to be a prophet. I want to be an apostle. There's no person that starts out being a prophet or being an apostle. I'm sorry.
That's right.
That's just not the way the Lord moves.
That's right.
You got to start where you're at.
Yeah.
And the other student, he was full of wisdom, and he said this, He said, the world is a better place because Michelangelo did not say, I don't do ceilings. Smart kid. And I believe today that the world is a better place because Abraham Lincoln didn't say, I don't do conflicts. George Washington Carver didn't say, I don't do peanuts. What if the Wright brothers had gotten that airplane built and said, you know what, I don't do heights. Mother Teresa didn't say, I only do rich demographics. You know, I'm only going to start a church where people make 60K or above. Me start a church in the inner city? Oh, are you kidding me? Mother Teresa didn't say, I don't do low income areas. And I believe that the world is a better place because Noah didn't say, I don't do animals or boats. Abraham didn't say, I don't travel. Moses didn't say, I don't do mass migrations. David says, giants? No, I don't do them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Fiery furnaces? Uh-oh. Mary didn't say, I don't do virgin births. Peter didn't say, I don't do Gentiles. Paul didn't say, I don't. Or Peter didn't say, I don't do Gentiles. Philip didn't say, I don't do desert roads. Paul didn't say, I don't do correspondence. And Jesus Christ didn't say, I don't do crosses. But I'll be honest with you. It's 12:25 right now and I'm not done. You give me a few more minutes? I'm going to pull an old Mario Murillo trick. How many of you give me 5 more minutes? Okay, 5, 10. Okay, thank you. But you know, babies don't see it that way, do they? They don't see that way. You know, when you had babies, and they were in the crib, and in the middle of the night, they started crying and wailing, and their poopy diaper needed to be changed. You didn't walk in there and the baby said to you, oh, did I wake you up? So sorry. You know, our granddaughter Olivia is 2 years old and she woke up at 2 a.m. just crying the other morning. She didn't walk in the papa's bedroom and say, oh, papa, I'm sorry I woke you up. Why? Because babies are babies. And it's okay for a baby to be a baby. But it's not okay when you got to start parting the whiskers to get the bottle in. And in a church like this, we have babies. I love the babies. And babies need milk. And adults need meat. Amen? So you pray for me that I have enough of both in my sermons. But we also have other programs where babies can be nurtured and babies can be brought up. There's nothing more precious than a bona fide baby Christian. They're innocent. They don't have a past. They may be 50 years old, but when they got born again, their past is eradicated. But I'll tell you something. If you've been around for years and years and years, and you're still a baby, and you don't have an area of service in the house of God, if everything then becomes about your needs and me, myself, and I, that's immature. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've seen this happen. 30 years I've been here. Seen it happen. People like that many times. They should be at least in the childhood stage. Moving on to adulthood, they leave churches like this. Little babies. Well, why are you leaving? I'm not getting fed here anymore. Come on. That's nothing but an excuse to not serve God. Spiritual adults put their toys away. Spiritual, come on now. Spiritual adults, step up to the plate. And they're not so interested in their needs being met. They're more interested in them being a servant of the Most High God and them moving on to maturity and serving others.
Amen.
Oh, friends, the more aware you are of other people around you, the more you will grow up, the more you will develop, the more you will become like Jesus Christ. I am telling you, the happiest people I know in this church are people that serve God with all of their might. Now, don't be condemned and don't feel bad if you've hid your talent under that bush. Get that talent out. Wipe it off. Let the light of the Holy Spirit, glory to God, bring you up into a place of service. And when I'll guarantee you, when you step out and you serve God by love and you do it with all of your might, you'll see His grace just bloom in your life.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And you'll say, wow, is that what the joy of the Lord is all about?
Hallelujah.
Oh, saints, there's joy in serving. Who will join me by saying, thank you, Lord.
I am saved
to serve.
I have been set free to serve you
in my generation, in the house of the Lord.
I've been brought into freedom
that I may serve the Lord. Stand up with me and say, I do service.
I bring my service.
Into the house of the Lord. Make it clear to me. Reveal unto me. Show me what I need to see. Reveal to me what I need to hear. But I make a dedication this morning that I will bring my gifts. I will bring my supply of prayer. I'll bring my supply of service into the house of the Lord.
I am willing.
I am obedient. Tell the Lord if you mean it, I'm available.
To serve you. In any capacity.
Now let's just lift our hands and thank Him for that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Masekele Moshe. Obravine de basaliedo. Poshelike lemasu renene. And so promotion day shall come as you step in and step out and stir up the gift that I have on the inside of you. And as you are faithful to do what I've called you to do, I'm watching over that. That's what the Lord is saying. And I will perform, glory to God, promotion for you. And the promotion that comes unto you shall not just be in the area of the local church. Yes, I will increase the anointing on you. And yes, I will increase the spirit of excellence upon you. So no one can stand in the place that you stand in because of the grace that I've showed upon you. But yea, saith the Lord, promotion shall come in other areas of life. For you see, I've said in my word that as you are faithful, you shall abound with the blessings. Abound and increase with the blessings. And so shall there be a promotion of the anointing on your life. Surely there shall be. But there also shall be a promotion of lands and homes and even increase on the job. I will cause your health, listen to this, I will cause your health to spring forth speedily. Because, says the Lord, you are valuable to me. I have not put in you all of these years or placed in you these graces on deposit all these years for them to be stagnant. Oh, saith the Lord. You are valuable in the house of the Lord. You are valuable in my service. So begin to see yourself that way and position yourself for promotion. For I would say unto you that promotion does not come from other places, but promotion comes from me. You'll recognize it when you see the increase on your life and you'll say, oh, that was the Lord. Thank you, Father, for doing that for me. Woo, glory to God. Whoa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Glory to God. Others will stand by and they'll say, how does that happen for them? How does that happen for her? How does that happen for him? And you'll smile on the inside and you'll say, it's because the Lord is good to me. It's because he's brought me into glory and brought me into liberty. It's because I serve him and he takes care of his own and I'm his own. And the favor of the Lord is abounding in my life. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Now, I believe that with all of my heart. So I prophesy over your lives. I prophesy, even those that are just willing to be willing, even those who've just dusted off their gift, I prophesy to you in the name of Jesus, as you bring your supply, there shall be an increase and promotion shall come and promotion shall be abounding in your life, and surely others will know it must have been the hand of the Lord. It had to be the hand of the Lord. Aaron, it has to be God. It had to be the hand of the Lord, brother. Brother Jimmy, it's coming. Hallelujah. Promotion day is coming. Woo! Glory to God. It had to be the hand of the Lord. And sobreviste labrando, se le que labrodiste fadando. So despise not, this is what the Lord is saying, small beginnings. For nothing in my plan is small. Though it may seem small in your view, it is not small in the way I see it. So despise it not and be faithful where you are at. And all my plan shall unfold before thee, and you shall walk in anointing, and you shall walk in the freedom of the Spirit of God. And that's what the Lord is saying to some of you students here. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Hallelujah. Though it may seem mundane, yea, saith the Lord, if you'll pray in the Holy Ghost, I'll take the mundane and I'll turn it around and I will, by my Spirit, spice it up with my Spirit. And I will put my anointing and my presence upon whatever you put your hand to, and surely it shall prosper, and the will of God shall come to pass in your life. Let's just lift our hands and thank Him. Say it right now. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. You will never get to home plate until you get to first base. These are bases that must be touched and be covered and renewed and rejuvenated every day of your life. Serve Him with gladness. Serve Him with gladness. And all I can say, the future's bright.
Amen.
The future's bright.
Hallelujah.
You just walk in your calling. You walk in the light of what you've seen thus far. And in His light, you will see more light. Oh, and the future shall be ever so bright. So look not for the spectacular walk, but live and walk in the supernatural. Daily walk in my word. Daily walk in prayer. Daily walk in the Spirit. And that's walking in the Spirit and walking in the supernatural. And along the path of life, you'll see the spectacular. But if it had not been for your commitment to walk in the supernatural, you would have never seen the spectacular. It is supernatural to serve in the house of God. It is supernatural to be faithful in church attendance.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Walk in it. Live in it.
Amen.
And oh yeah, you'll see miracles here and you'll see miracles there. But for the most part, you will live a constant, steadfast, consistent life under the law of seed time and harvest. And as you continue to sow your seeds, there will be a continual harvest of blessings all around you. Has he not said you'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the field? That you'll be the head, not the tail. You will be blessed coming in and you'll be blessed going out. Oh, hallelujah. Let's raise our hands and say it. Say it with me.
I choose
to live my life
in the supernatural power
of his word,
of his presence,
and in the fruit of the Spirit. Close your eyes just for a moment. We're about to leave here in a moment, but close your eyes just for a moment. Would you please be in an attitude of prayer with me? You can't really offer your service to the Lord unless you belong to the Lord and unless your life belongs to him. Right now is a golden opportunity for you to give your heart to Jesus. He's given his best for you and to you. If you are here today and you say, Pastor Mark, would you pray for me? I'd like to be saved. I'd like to be born again. I'd like to receive Jesus. I'd like to serve God. But I first got to know I'm saved. You're here today. You have not yet been prayed for salvation. You have not yet made that confession. We're going to pray in just a moment. Secondly, there's other people today that, quite frankly, you feel lost. You're not lost, but you feel lost. You've lost your sense of fellowship. You haven't lost your relationship with God. God loves you. His hand is upon you. And he's just standing at the door of your heart today. He said, won't you let me come in? Won't you let me do some great things in your life? In other words, come back to him.